The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Best Of Podcast.
And we're back. Second hour is here, and we began the program an hour ago talking to Mel Tucker, the head coach at Michigan State. We'll talk to the associate head coach at Auburn later in the program, Zach Etheridge. Let's get back to the calls here in Marshall in South Carolina. Good afternoon.
You got me, Paul?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
What's going on? How you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
I'm hearing a lot about, you know, all these other schools like Georgia and Tennessee. I mean, I'm hearing some stuff about my Gamecocks, but how crazy do you think I am to say that the Gamecocks might win the East this year?
Well, I've never met you, nor have I had your head examined, but I would say you're pretty crazy to say that.
You think I'm pretty crazy? Who's your second in the East behind? I assume you got the Dogs first. Who's second?
Yeah, I think it's a race between Tennessee and Kentucky to be second.
I don't know. I think Kentucky, you know, they're losing two of their best linemen. I think we don't even know the status with Rodriguez as of right now. They lose their best receiver in Kentucky history and Wandell Robinson. I don't see them being a contender. I think they win. I think they have a good season, Paul, but I think they win about seven games.
Okay,
I think
well,
the
Marshall,
Gamecocks,
let's forget about everybody but South Carolina right now.
We know
it's different. We know the schedule is menacing. So you tell me, and we'll throw the schedule up in a minute, so you can tell us how the Gamecocks and what their path will be to get to Atlanta.
All right, well, you know, to start off, I'm not saying we're going to win the SEC.
Marshall, come on. We can't have this, I think, could be, could have, should have.
All right, well,
you're making a statement here. Do you think I'm crazy?
And the answer was yes,
so back it up.
All right, I'm not crazy. Here we go. Let's give you the SEC scenario for the game.
Right. Hold on a second. At Arkansas, win or loss?
Win.
Georgia at home.
Win
at Kentucky.
I think the Georgia game at home could be a win or loss.
Marshall, when you come on the show beating your chest, we don't give you the opportunity to give us an either or. It's black or white. Who you got?
I'm gonna go with the Gamecocks at home.
So it's a one word answer. At Kentucky.
Win.
A&M at home.
Law.
Finally, some level-headed thinking here. Missouri, we won't even waste time. Vanderbilt, we won't waste time. At Florida.
Win. They're a joke.
What was that again?
I said they're a joke. Florida's a joke. You don't need to waste time with Florida either.
Tennessee at home.
I don't think Florida.
Tennessee at home.
I think that's the biggest game on our schedule at home besides Georgia. And I think it's going to be a close one, but I think the Gamecocks win in a high-scoring game.
Okay, so right now you got one loss, and then at Clemson, I guess that's a loss, right?
Nah, I don't think so, Paul.
Okay, so you have the Gamecocks going 11-1, only loss to A&M.
Yep.
Okay, let me ask you a couple of questions, Marshall. You're in Columbia, right?
Yes, sir.
And I'm not getting too personal here, but are you self-employed or do you work for a company?
Self-employed.
Okay. Well, the reason I ask is this. Could you loosely, you don't have to tell me the name, but could you loosely tell me what type of health insurance you have?
Well, why does that matter, Paul? What kind of health insurance you got?
I think it's Cigna or Blue Cross. I can't remember. Whatever the company has, that's what
I got. Blue Cross. No, all I'm saying, Paul,
well, no,
is
no,
all
no,
roster.
Hold on. Let me finish my line of questioning here. So if it's Blue Cross, it may be Major Medical. Does it have a rider in there that pays up to 80% for psychiatric help?
No, it doesn't, Paul. It doesn't. No, it's, okay. You know, Paul, it's fine. Yeah, I love to play the game. I think you're a great guy. I love the show. You know, it's all fun. It is all fun. But I'm telling you, Paul, a lot of people, you know, they don't realize, they don't follow it as closely as you do. I mean, as you do vastly. But the people inside at Carolina, these fans, I mean, we've got some serious, the biggest thing with us this year is we finally have this little thing called depth, which you need in the SEC. Our receiving core is immaculately better. We started four different quarterbacks, and we're replacing him with Spencer Rattler. Our offensive line has gained confidence under this blocking scheme and will be a lot better.
Okay.
They were terrible last year. I think they'll be about middle
of the pack. You know I'm kidding with you, of course.
I love you, Paul.
I want you to repeat your take. Now, Gamecocks are going 11-1 and winning, and excuse me, 11-1 and going to the Atlanta over Georgia. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so, Paul. I think we've got arguably one of the best non-quarterback offensive players in the SEC next year. I know Brock Bowers is pretty good over there at Georgia, but, I mean, I'd probably put Brock a little bit ahead of him right now, but Jaheim Bell, absolute stud. He's going to be all over the place. He's going to be at tight end. He's going to be playing wide receivers. He'll be at running back. We're going to be all over the place, Paul. Wide back, you. Debo Samuel. Now it's Jaheim Bell. He's a little taller.
I just want to make sure I understand, Marshall. The only loss is to Texas A&M, but in that group you have wins against Arkansas. You said Florida's a joke. You have wins against Tennessee and even Clemson. Is that correct? That's right. Okay.
Yes.
We just want to make sure we got you down. Marshall, you live in Columbia, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You're self-employed. You sound like a reasonably young guy. You sound like a smart guy.
Yes, sir. Now, I've been following it my whole life, Paul. You know, I haven't seen depth like this, Paul, since I was in middle school and that 2013 was rolling around. I mean, I'm our defensive line, I think we have two possible first-round guys. I think Zach Pickens probably goes in the first round.
Marshall,
I think George Strong could go.
One or two other questions, if I could, because when you called
Florida
a joke, it really bothered me because I just think that's I mean, that's a proud program down there. You know that.
Yeah, no, I know. I have nothing against Billy Napier.
I
didn't call him a joke. I called Florida as a whole a joke right now, Paul, because they've had a lot more problems.
Marshall, one last question, okay?
All right.
And somebody suggested this, so one of our listeners wrote in, and I'm just really somewhat reiterating what they said. You live in Columbia, correct?
Yeah.
Can you confirm or deny that before you made this call, you stopped by Cat Daddy's liquor store and maybe had too much hooch?
No, Paul. I went to the BP and got me a case of Natty Light. I ain't drinking no liquor from Cat Daddy's. I don't think anybody in Columbia goes to Cat Daddy's, whoever that is. Whoever that is trying to make his business a little better, because I ain't never heard of Cat Daddy's. But no, Paul. I'm with my buddy. We're about to go out to the farm and start our deer rifles in. It's deer season soon. But I just wanted to give you my take, man.
I didn't realize it was deer season in South Carolina. I thought it was August.
August 15th. It opens Monday.
Oh my goodness! I had no. And you're going out to practice? Is that why? I mean, what do you do?
Now we're just going. We're going to zero in the rifles. We put a bunch of corn out and stuff. We've been doing that for the last week. We're about to put some cameras up and shoot our guns and make sure they're all zeroed in so we can shoot the big buck on opening day, hopefully.
Okay. I mean, is that really fair to the buck to put cameras up and all that? I mean, can't you just go out there?
Paul.
Like
we're just trying to see what time he's coming out.
Go kill your meal versus, tricking these poor animals with highfalutin cameras.
I didn't know Paul Feinbaum was a hippie boy. playing with you, Paul. Paul, you ought to come deer hunting with me, Paul.
Hey, in the South. I know a little bit about deer hunting, but I was just kidding you. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Art is up next in Birmingham. Hey, Art.
Hey, Paul. Always an honor and be on your show. Thanks a whole lot for taking my call. I got two things. One is, yes, I did hear you say that either you bailed off the horse or the horse threw you onto your head.
I jumped off the horse, Artie.
And why did you do that?
Well, here's why. Because the horse was loose. I was trying to command
not
it.
Not listen
and,
to you.
I think
you have a fear factor.
I pulled the reins a little too tight and went into his neck. And he was about 150 yards from an interstate, not an interstate, but a highway.
Highway, yes, the highway there. Yeah. It might be even 11. They do great things out there, that's for sure. Now, the second one is, I like that call who really got the idea that Coach Saban could take the heat off. He finishes this season, and then he gets a assistant manager either in New York or Atlanta and spends the season at third base. He can get all the stats, and hey, if it works out, he can win a world he can win the World Series. You see? There's a lot of logistics I can see can't work out, but it is a good thought.
We will take a short break. We all need one. Back with more of the program after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back here. What an afternoon it has been already. Mel Tucker and some, I was about to say crazy calls, but I don't want to say that. Let's check in with Elliot in Ohio. Elliot, how are you?
Hey, Paul. It's been sinking in. I think this is probably the saddest week in college football history. Game day no longer in the Big Ten. No Penn State whiteout on ESPN. Desmond and Herbie gone from telecasting in the Big Ten. My question is this just like the song from the Stylistics where we used to break up and make up and that song's over and now it's a permanent breakup and the SEC is going to have its own championship and the Big Ten is going to have its own championship? I'm trying to figure this all out.
It was a good song, by the way. I don't know. I think this waxing poetic is being taken to extreme. We live in an evolving world where suddenly players are now making money. Coaching salaries are through the roof. We had a coach on today who has a $100 million contract. So why is it such a big deal that for the first time in 40 years, a game won't be on ESPN? To me, fans just want to see the games. Are they really concerned about the network broadcasting the game? Or the broadcast?
Paul,
half the time, do you even know who's doing the game?
Paul, it's rivalry. Look, at the last time that game day came to Columbus, you know what I did? I showed up with the sign that said the SEC is overrated.com. I got coverage all over the place.
Yeah, but
it's rivalry.
I'm not speaking for ESPN because I don't. But nobody's saying, I would imagine game day will be there this year for the Ohio State Notre Dame game. Nobody's saying game day won't be going to the Big Ten. Game day has gone to places where the Fox show is broadcasting from and the Fox noon game is. Game day tries to sell itself on a show that covers college football. Now, is it practical to think they'll be there less? Yeah, I think that's reasonable. But it's not like Fox is not going to have an expanded show. They will.
People know who's broadcasting. Musburger broadcasting over the Buckeyes. Come on, we know who's broadcasting out there. We have our favorite.
See, Elliot, I mean, you're talking about an era when there were just a handful of people doing the games. With so many games on a day now, I think you know when the best crew is on there. But for your garden variety middle of the day game, I don't think it matters a whole lot.
But my question really is ESPN offended that they didn't get into this deal, or did they walk out because they wanted out? Is this like a breakup between the two?
In a perfect world, we would be able to interview all those network executives. But here's why we can't interview them right now, because the deal has not been announced. So this is all reporting. This is not anything official. Maybe when it's all over, I'm sure ESPN will put out a statement that praises the Big Ten for their long and
it'll be a 30 for 30. It'll be a 30 for 30 partners in crime, how the SEC and the Big Ten changed college football.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, again, maybe I'm just not as nostalgic as I need to be, but I think there are far more important things in college football than the network that brings you the game. Making that statement from a television network. Let's check out Randy next up in Georgia. Hey, Randy.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today? I'm good. How are you?
Very well, Randy. Thank you.
I had three questions for you real quick. I wanted to see which game you thought was the toughest for Georgia. And I wanted to see if they were to go to a 9-game schedule, would they play more games or less games if it goes to that? And I wanted to see what you hear from Georgia Tech so far.
Yeah, I hear good things, Randy. In terms of the toughest game, I think it could be at Kentucky, because it's late in the year and it's just it comes at the end of a really long run. You got Florida, Tennessee, one in Jacksonville, one at home. And then at Mississippi State, do not sleep on that game. That's a tough game to play. And then you play Kentucky at the end of that stretch. I think Georgia needs to be careful. State game is dangerous too, but I think those are tougher games than. And I also think that Missouri game early on could sneak up on Georgia. I think Georgia will win these games, but I'm just giving you where I think could be. A close call. Hey, thank you for the call very much. Appreciate it. Let's check out Jake in Washington. Hello, Jake. Good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
Hey, I just got my tickets for the Texas-Alabama game. Looking forward to it. Big Alabama fan out here in Washington. Not many of them out here, but looking forward to it. Just wanted to get your take on the game and if you're going to be there. In the morning before the show.
Jake, I do not think we will be there. Would I rather be there? Probably, yeah. I think that's going to be the best game of the day. We've gone to neutral site games, but the SEC Saturday show has never gone to a road game of an SEC team. So even though I know what's ahead, it hasn't happened yet. So I think that would, in theory, preclude us from being there.
Okay. You think it's going to be a blowout or?
Right now, I do. Yes. I don't have any reason to believe that Texas can make that a good game.
Yeah. Right on. Well, you enjoy your day and roll tide.
Thank you very much. Really nice of you to call. How about Kyle in Alabama? Hey, Kyle.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. I just want to get your take on what game you think Alabama needs to circle this year for the scare game, like maybe last year at Texas A&M.
Well, some of it depends on what happened leading up. I think if I had to pick out two or three, I think the Arkansas game is problematic. Why?
Right.
Because it's right before the A&M game, which will get all the hype. And then the obvious hangover effect is at Tennessee the next week. That's a tricky part of the schedule. LSU and Ole Miss back-to-back, it's hard to really say right now because we don't know a whole lot about either team. So that I would say Arkansas, Tennessee, and then maybe either LSU or Ole Miss. I don't think Auburn will be an issue because I think everyone will remember what happened last year.
Right. That's kind of the games I had circled too. And then I look at those games and you know, the hangover effect, like you said. But then you just look, I mean, Alabama's defense this year is probably arguably going to be hopefully one of the best Nick Saban's had his whole career at Alabama. And then, you know, the offense picking up the weapons we picked up in the transfer portal this year just make that offense even better. I just don't know any team that could really keep up without, you know, having a hangover effect or anything like that.
No, I mean, really, no team should. But Kyle, the one thing you don't know, and I'll state the obvious here, you don't know the vagaries of the season. You know, what made that A&M game so difficult for Alabama last year? Because Alabama looked at what A&M had done the previous couple of weeks and losing to Arkansas and Mississippi State, and quite frankly, nobody took it very seriously. I remember, including those of us who travel around looking for the best game, we didn't even go to that game because were at Kentucky that weekend for a different game because it just didn't seem like that was going to be even a remotely close game. That's how crazy the events leading up can be or the effect that they can have. Hey, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Joel is in Georgia. Hey, Joel.
Hey, Paul, how are you this day?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Good. Hope you can understand me okay. I'm having voice issues.
You sound great.
Anyway, I just wanted to call for a minute. This first time calling. I wanted to call and talk about Daryl for a second.
Okay.
He said something a few minutes ago that got under my craw a little bit. He said a couple of times, he said, LSU? Well, I just want to take a second and explain to him who LSU is. LSU is a team that in 2018, 2019, the last two times they played each other, LSU is a team that outscored about Georgia by a total of 73-26 cumulatively. LSU is the same team last two times they played for SEC championship, 2011 and 2019, defeated Georgia by a cumulative score of 79-20. LSU is the same team that has played Georgia four times this century, winning three SEC championships, and they've cumulatively they beat Georgia by a score of 127-67. And LSU is also the team that's played Georgia in their history 32 times, winning 18 of them. That's who LSU is. Maybe Daryl needs to check his stats before he sits there and wants to.
You know, Joe, if I could jump in here for a second, I just have to because have you ever seen these MME fights, MMA fights, where the referee just stops in because the other guy is just clobbering the opponent. I mean, what you're doing to Daryl right now is criminal. I mean, you have just shattered this man. You have broken his heart with one of the most effective and compelling takedowns I've ever seen. Congratulations, Joe. You've done what many have tried to do in the past, but only you have succeeded. You have just simply made Daryl out to be a fool. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We're coming right back.
Thank you, Paul.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
I got a tweet here from the former UK punter talking about the brouhaha between Calipari and Mark Stoops. Yeah, Kentucky football, have they ever lost to St. Peter's? No, they haven't. And that is some smoke right there. Let's get back to the calls. And Jim is on the phone. Hello, Jim.
I tell you what, Paul, I'm a little bit devious of everything you're doing now on this show. You got the screener that you bragged on him, and I thought, well, maybe he'll be I didn't know if he'd answer or not. So he answers the phone, and he says, "Hey, Jim." I said, "I got my, I blocked my call. They know, a lot of them know, but he's new." So I said, "How did you know who I was?" He said, "Oh, I got tipped off."
No,
oh, I said,
so
okay, I know.
About,
you got
you're talking tipped about Luke, who is new to the show?
Yeah, I'm talking about Luke, Paul.
Okay. Well,
so that's what I asked him. I said,
well Jim, but can I finish? Think you understand that you're probably the only one who calls that doesn't have a name attached to
you. Yeah, but how did he know that? Unless I asked him, I said, "How did you know that? I've never called you before. I've never been on the show when you're on. How do you?" He said, "Oh, I got tipped off."
Hold on. Jamari told me he told Luke that it was you.
Well, what's Jamari doing in my business? What business was Jamari in before he got in my business? Huh?
Jim,
I'm hollering about all that. I don't like the show anymore, Paul, and I'm going to finish if you'll let me. Well, have you lost your mind? I really wonder, have you lost your mind? You called one of your best callers a fool.
Who did
I'm
I
talking
call?
About Daryl.
Who did I call? Well, I think I was making
a Daryl,
point.
You called him a fool.
Well, I think
you called Daryl a fool a while ago.
Well, that's an exaggeration.
No, it wasn't an exaggeration. That's the way your show's been going, Paul. That's why I hate your damn show now. It's horrible. Your show stinks. You got old man Pat from what happened to John? I started liking John from Louisville. Now he's not on anymore. What happened to John?
Yeah, Jim, please take this the right way, but I mean, I don't know why people call and why they don't call. I just sit here.
I'll tell you why they don't call, just like I don't call. The show sucks now, Paul. I'm telling you straight. You know I'm a straight shooter. Yeah, I get high voiced. You got this fool from it. You know, my fool, the one in New Jersey, that's a complete moron. And you let him ruin the show every day with nothing but nothing, pure nothing. And then you call. I tell you what about Daryl. He impressed me about summer. He can say whatever he wants to me about me, but he impressed me and got my pure, total respect the way he stood up to you about 8 or 9 years ago in many, many ways. And he supported the country at times you were trashing the country or whatever. And are you still good friends with your fool friend? Wait a minute, Joe. Are you still good friends?
I'm not going to let you accuse me of trashing this country, which is a total lie.
Well, I don't know. You were trashing. You were sticking up for homosexuals that were eating cake with another one.
Jim, I am not going to listen to this garbage of yours about what I said or didn't say.
Okay, Paul, well, let me ask you another question, okay?
People, Jim, I don't discriminate against one group versus the next, okay?
Well, let me ask you another question. Are you still good friends with your buddy Joe Scarborough?
I have a lot of friends who think a lot of things. Yeah, I mean, I know Joe Scarborough. I mean, do we hang out?
No,
together?
You're good friends with Joe Scarborough. We know you're good friends. That guy is anti-American as you can get.
So, Jim, you're going to judge me by the people.
I'm judging you because I'm a righteous judge. I've got God in my mind and heart. You don't.
I mean, I have not physically seen Joe Scarborough in about 3 or 4 years. I mean, come on. How can you be so ridiculous? Yeah, you're going to. Yeah, I could come back to you, and but I'm not going to because I'm not trying to, argue this like a case in front of the Supreme Court. But you're Jim. Even for you, I'm surprised that you would dig that deep into the gutter with specious allegations. But again, I'm going to let it go because, after all, it's your opinion and it's not shared by anyone here. Let's go back to the calls, and Carson is up next in Alabama. Hello, Carson.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
What a relief to have a 10-year-old after Jim. Which one sounds more mature?
Yeah.
Good to hear from you.
If you could go to one SEC football game this year, who would it be?
Oh, man. Okay, let's talk about this for a second, Carson. You're from Alabama, right, north of Birmingham. Are you a Bama fan or an Auburn fan?
Oh, yeah, Bama fan.
Okay. Well, I think the better question is for me to ask you, if there was one game you would want to go to, which one would it be?
Well, I would like to go to the Auburn at Bama game, but we know who's going to win that and by how much.
Okay.
So I would go to Texas A&M Alabama game because just what happened last year, and they beat us by 3.
Yeah, I think that's the game I would circle. Even though I'm not sure that is going to be an entertaining game, I think the drama leading up to that game. And here's the one caveat I would offer here.
Yeah.
If A&M loses to Arkansas prior to that mm-hmm. game, then I think some of the luster is going to come off of it, other than the recanting of the Jimbo Fisher rant. But if both A&M and Alabama are undefeated, that's going to be the center of the country's interest that day.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Paul.
Well, Carson, thank you from Trussville, Alabama, which is a beautiful town, northeast of Birmingham. And we will check in next with BB in Arkansas. Hello, BB.
How you doing, Paul?
Good afternoon.
Hey, man, I was going to talk to you about old Marshall of South Carolina.
Yes.
I was watching the show, and that man needs to see a psychiatrist. Don't you think?
Yeah, I was trying to suggest that to him. I'm sure you could figure that out.
He said about a comedian.
And by the way, there's nothing wrong. I mean, sometimes the connotation.
I was laughing.
I think he just needed
busted a gut.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll get yelled at for suggesting that he was crazy. I wasn't suggesting he was crazy. I just asked him if he had health insurance that covered that.
Yeah. Hey, I don't know. He can't make that prediction. You know, ain't no way he's going to beat Georgia. Ain't no way. I doubt that they'll beat Arkansas. You know, they got to come to Fayetteville.
They're not winning that game. There are many things I don't know, but I do know that.
So, South Carolina may win 4-8. I won't give them 4 games.
Okay.
That they'll win.
Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We're up against a break. We have one of the top young assistant coaches in the country coming up here in a few minutes. We hope you'll stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we're back, and William is up next in Maryville.
Paul, how are you?
William, we're all getting by here.
Well, you know, Paul, you know, usually when a normal, sane person calls someone up and they recognize their number or their voice and say hello, it's a moment of pride, but not with Jim. You know, you've got to be pretty paranoid and delusional to go after a young man being Luke, the new guy there, who has been nothing but courteous and seems to be well adjusted into his job, for recognizing his call. And all I've got to say, Paul, is I don't think that you deserve Jim's wrath. I don't think your readers want to hear Jim's wrath, and I certainly don't believe that Jim's wrath is appropriate. You know, a certain level of civility is what keeps us from, you know, anarchy in society. Well, and frankly, I know you don't believe in censorship, and I know you don't like to shut people up, but I'm tired of hearing it, and it adds nothing positive to the show. And I don't, frankly, on a personal level, Paul, I don't think you deserve it, nor should you put up with it.
Well, thank you for saying that. That is not the concern here. The concern is that, you know, someone would come in and treat, even though he's been part of this network for a while and has worked on our show, he's now in a elevated position. I'm speaking of Luke. But beyond that, the attacks on me, I mean, I'm not concerned about Jim, but when he makes the kind of statements that he does, and he paints a broad brush and starts throwing around stuff like un-American, and then guilt by association because I've been on somebody's national program, and then he says, I'm not going to judge, William, because it says in the Bible not to. That's when the hypocrisy just just bubbles over and the pot starts overflowing down the street.
And I'm going to flip it around on you and say, yes, I understand you're thick-skinned about some of it, but that doesn't mean that the people who listen to you don't like it when you are attacked. The attack was inappropriate. It was unjustified. We don't want to hear it. It, you know, it certainly was hypocritical. As I've said on this program before, Jim is not a man of the Bible. He is not a Christian. He does not know his biblical history. And his actions speak much louder than his words. He's a false prophet. And, you know, frankly, you know, whether you went on, you know, Joe Scarborough's program years ago or,
but let me explain just one thing. I have been on Joe Scarborough's program a number of times. And do you know what the subject has been every single time? It has been discussing Alabama football. It has not been discussing the raid on Mar-a-Lago, the presidential race in 2024. It has been to discuss college football, which is something that I do for a living. That's why I happen to have been a guest as recently as this year from the national championship game between Alabama and Georgia, not outside the Supreme Court.
But you know what? Even if you discuss something else, it's
which
none
I never
of,
would,
you know,
by
it's
the way.
None of Jim's concern.
But that
it's none of Jim's concern, Paul.
But whether it is or it isn't, I am not going on anyone's show to discuss my political views or ideology. That is none of anybody's concern, nor do I have any interest in subjecting my personal views on anyone else. That's not the purpose of this program until
And that's exactly why Jim's attack about his, you know, his suggestion about your personal views is inappropriate, Paul. That's exactly my point.
It's inappropriate, but it reveals his character, and we all know what his character is, and that's his problem. It's not yours, mine, or anyone watching right now.
Well, it's not our problem, but it's also something that takes away from the other positive callers on this show.
Well, and I don't want this to sound the wrong way, but so is a lengthy conversation about, you know, what a bad call it was.
Well, then I plead guilty to that.
Well, you have been sentenced. You will be sentenced at a hearing on Friday afternoon.
Well, I've said my piece, and I think there's probably a lot of people out there that agree with me.
Okay. William, thank you very much. And I'm not being critical of you. I appreciate it. But of all the people that participate in this program that needs defending, I am the least important one because I made the decision to take the call. So I am ultimately responsible for that. Let's check in with Guppy in Georgia. Hello, Guppy.
Hello, Paul. Hi there. There's a lot of vitriol on the program today.
There is.
I'm so timid about coming on after all of it because I'm not in that angry mood.
Well, I'm glad to hear from you.
Yeah, okay. I'm a little late. It's a little late belated. I tried to get through last week to respond to some of the accolades for Shug Jordan and Auburn, which were due, certainly. But I didn't want to go without mentioning that also our coach, Wally Butts, from the University of Georgia, also won a national championship. And I think it should be remembered or just acknowledged at this late date. He lost his last child this past spring. He has a grandson that's in the hospital in Athens. And I think it'd be just nice to have it.
Well, I'm glad you said that, Guppy, and you're right. I mean, he was a phenomenal coach and doesn't get enough attention, and we'll take care of that, and we're so sorry to hear about his family members. We're back after this.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.